Hello, and welcome to our series, Career Resilience, where we talk with people about their career path and their career journey, and maybe we can all learn from each other. My name is Jan Daniluk, and I'm a human resources professional in London, Ontario, Canada. I work with Fort Keist LLP, and I work with my clients to help them with the HR side of their business. We hope that you will enjoy these discussions with real people about real challenges and real working life situations. Welcome. My guest today is Terry Ellis. Terry, welcome to Career Resilience.
Thanks, I'm very excited to be here, so thanks for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to have you. And today you and I are going to focus on talking about business and business, particularly in a service industry. But I often think that business is my natural habitat and my hobby at the same time, which makes me think I'm probably a nerd, but that's okay. I've come to accept that. So today we're going to be talking about business and career management. And you know that I work my day job at Fort Keist, which is an accounting firm in London, Ontario. And actually, we're big fans of you there. So I've gathered a couple of questions from one of your bigger fans, and I'm going to be interweaving those questions from her in our conversation today. So that should be fun. Why don't we talk about your career and your career steps to get to where you are today?
I'm happy to. In fact, actually, it kind of describes how we even get to know each other, right? So I've got a really interesting career journey. So my current role is with RSM. I am the leader of our RSM Canada Alliance program. I can explain what that is in a second. And then I've also recently been tapped to lead what we call our business and professional services industry team. So we go to market as an organization by industry. And so because of my depth of experience working with CPA firms and consulting firms, it was a natural fit that I take on the leadership role for that as well. And they merge pretty nicely together. So, and just to give you a little bit of background too, to your audience, our Alliance program in Canada is really about creating a independent partnership with CPA firms and consulting firms across the country. So what we have done, and that's how we've met, obviously, is through the Alliance program that Fort Keist has participated in with RSM, which we absolutely are super excited that you're one of our Alliance members. So happy to be here today. I hope, did I even answer that question?
Actually, maybe you could tell us what RSM stands for.
It actually doesn't, like, it's the acronym. It's the first, each letter represents the first name of a firm. And I only know the M stands for McGladrey and coming together of those firms that agreed to go to market as RSM. I actually started my career as a golf professional and then realized that I needed more than $8,000 a year to live because I wasn't that great of a player. And I needed some stability because I was a very young mother. And so I needed to pivot. I happened to be talking to one of my clients who then said, I see something in you. Why don't you come and work for my business? And their business was in financial services. And that started me on my journey where I am today. And every opportunity has just opened other doors to other opportunity, which really is what we're going to discuss a little bit more today.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were a golf pro.
Yeah. Yes.
And so when you were talking to one of your clients, was your client somebody you were teaching to play golf?
Yeah, exactly. And an entrepreneur more so.
Okay. Got it. All right. Yeah. So you went into financial services. Have you pretty well stayed in that milieu?
Yeah, exactly. I have. Yes. Transitioned from one was about promoting health spending accounts in the Canadian marketplace to small and medium-sized businesses. And then I transitioned from there right to CPA firms and spent some time mostly, predominantly for the last 20 years in CPA firms.
Okay, so you really understand CPAs.
Yes, maybe. And what makes me unique is I'm not one. So it brings a different skill set to the table and just a different perspective.
Yeah, which is great, right? Because we all come to the table with a different perspective, and that's how we get somewhere together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and if we don't have that difference of thought and different of perspectives around the table, we actually don't come up with the best solution. So we actually make a real meaningful effort to try and put that diverse group of people together, diverse from gender, race, sexuality, or perspective, right? There's lots of diversity that we stream together to make sure we're bringing the best solutions to the table.
Yeah, that's great. So let's just switch over to talking about career resilience. So what is your thought and definition of career resilience?
That's funny, right? Because when you first approached me about this, I always think initially when we talk about resilience, it has to do with overcoming adversity. And I feel like that might be one way to describe resilience, but I also think about it as being something that's really driving and adopting to the change that's happening around you. And resilience, that is resilience in itself as well. I don't think it's always adversity. I think it's the ability to be able to transition yourself, see it, what's coming, hear what's coming, see the change that's around you. I think change is the only constant, and then being able to adapt to that. And I think that's also that resilience. And if I look at my own career, I've really redefined myself a number of times throughout my career. And I think it's the ability to be resilient and redefine myself that's allowed me to do what I'm doing now.
What does it mean to redefine yourself?
So I think about, I was a golf professional. Then I was talking and promoting and growing a business in regards to health spending accounts. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing for a very small stint in an insurance brokerage, and then transitioned from growing a private company practice for one of the big four to now leading an industry team at RSM. So it's really about being able to tap into, what am I good at? What are the things I don't know about myself that others are telling me that I need to pay attention to? And then how do I start to pivot and redefine who I am and how I'm bringing value to whether it's my clients or the organization I'm working with?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that ability to start redefining my role and what I'm doing there is really that resilience that you build throughout your career.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone starts where they finish or has intention to start where they finish.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. I did a session once where I asked people, were they all where they expected to be when they first started out? And I think maybe one person said, yes, I always knew I wanted to be an accountant. And so that was always my goal. But I think that was one out of 40 people that were sitting in the room. So it was quite interesting. You just never know. And I suppose that is the true definition of redefining yourself, because you don't know.
Goes back to resilience, right? Because it's the ability to rebound. So you're allowed to fall down. No one's perfect. I know I made a ton of mistakes. I still do. But so it's the ability to rebound from that and then pick yourself up, brush yourself off, think about what you're doing, and then redefine. And you're right. I think some of it's a little bit of luck. And we use in RSM, we use some terms around what we call our 5 C's. Curiosity is one of those 5 C's, and it's being curious enough to be asking questions of others, right? So that you can start to recognize those things in yourself too. Yeah.
Well, of course, now I have to ask you, what are the other 4? So one is curiosity. What are the others?
Caring, collaboration, courageousness, and critical thinking.
And which is the most challenging of those, do you think?
I think it's an individual sport. Everyone struggles with one of them. I think sometimes courageous is probably the hardest, to be bold and have those tough conversations, because that's where the rubber hits the road, and that's where the most learning is, but it's the hardest to do.
You mentioned when we were talking before about accepting ambiguity. And I think that's a really interesting concept. So first of all, what are you defining ambiguity as, and how do you go about accepting it?
Yeah, we talk a lot about that around, do we need a roadmap? Can we make decisions without a roadmap? And that's really the ambiguity. Sometimes we don't know. We don't know what the future is going to hold. We don't know what our role in our career is going to look like in 5 years. And so it's really being able to be flexible and agile inside of that ambiguity and not knowing. And you don't have to have the answers. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a key, again, just another key element when you think about resilience that you build throughout your career. There's some resilience building in being able to make decisions in the face of ambiguity. Mm-hmm. We do it every day where there's just lack of clarity, or we don't exactly know, we can't predict the future, or we don't even exactly know how we're going to get to where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But do you like to have a roadmap?
I think everyone likes to have a little bit of a roadmap. I just don't think it's very practical sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're led to believe that there's a roadmap. We see successful people around us. We think that there's a roadmap in our career. We think that if we go to school, for instance, and go get our CPA designation and write our CV and get the license, that our future is going to look like I'm going to be in accounting. And that is not always the answer. It's definitely, some people have positioned right out of accounting altogether. So again, that is that I think that there is some feeling comfortable in ambiguity is a real skill.
Yeah. Well, I think particularly when we're talking specifically about accounting and the CPA designation, it opens so many doors for people, so many options.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Great career. I would absolutely promote it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you in your career, you know that what doesn't kill us makes us strong. Can you think of a time in your career that you were made strong?
Oh, I have 100 stories, actually. So I've actually had some pretty tough conversations in my career about some mistakes that I made. And I don't want to really get into it too much because I don't want to give anything away and I don't want anyone to see this and go, I know she's talking about me. But I've had some tough conversations that have made me feel really that I hadn't accomplished or that I had really made a very serious mistake. And the impact really wasn't to a client or to the business, but I walked away owning it and probably internalizing it maybe more than I needed to, but I definitely internalized the conversation. And so I think one of the things that just taught me is one of the things I learned from that exercise was I needed to do more check-ins regularly with my direct reports to really make sure that I was doing what I needed to do that was hitting the mark. And everything, as I reflect on, again, I have lots of those, all of them and the majority of them all come down to communication. Okay, there's another C. But they all come down to communication, alignment, making sure that I'm talking and having discussions to check in, make sure I'm aligned. Because more often than not, I find out that what I thought was actually being said was not being said. What I heard was not what was meant. Yeah. And that happens, by the way, in every aspect of my life too. So it's not just a career.
You know what? I can remember years ago, I had a boss. He was a good boss, but I didn't particularly like the job. I actually thought, sounds so terrible. I thought the role was just far beneath me. And I think it showed that was my terrible attitude, which I look back now and think I would never feel that way now, because if I commit to a job, it's not beneath me. It's a job I've committed to. But anyway, he said to me, you obviously do not like this job. So you need to think about that and come back to me tomorrow and tell me if you plan to continue in it or if you plan to leave. And, you know, that's not the way we think in terms of exiting people. We think in terms of, you know, coaching and counseling and bringing them along and so on. But honestly, Terry, that was one of the most significant things that a boss said to me, because it was so clarifying and terrifying and so against the brand I was trying to build. And but boy, that taught me so much. And of course, the next day I went to him and said, you know what, I want this job and I want to prove to you that I want this job. And I never did get to love it, but I certainly threw myself into it. You know, these are tough things.
He might have given you a bit of a gift, right? Because he might have just, or she, you said he, right? He might have given you a bit of a gift, because then you could have also gone away and said, yeah, you know what? He's right. I don't like this job. And that would have given you a platform to pivot as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But you learned something else along the way. I think we always get to where we're supposed to go.
Yeah, I think he was pivoting me out the door. So yeah, that was also the consideration in my mind was, how do I pay the rent if I decide I don't like this job? So who inspired you along the way? Have you had a particular mentor or coach that just really you connected with and inspired you?
I have lots. You asked me if I would have any advice to share. I think from a career perspective, I reflect back and I've had the happy chance, really, because it wasn't planned, to have a whole host of mentors and leaders that provided me feedback, guidance, insights into, hey, I've got this weird situation. How do I manage this? You know, at the end of the day, from a female leadership perspective, it was really my mom that's been my kind of guiding light, right? She's, at the end of the day, the one that built the foundation of who I am. She had a pretty tough childhood, but she really instilled in, I've got three sisters, so she really instilled this strength and confidence in all of us that we needed to be on our feet, self-sufficient, independent, outspoken, and really confident in who we were, which has really helped to provide a lot of that, I don't want to say DNA, but definitely early learning and early learning sense of self. And then along the way, I happened to run into just the right people at the right time, which sounds a little bit like complete luck. But I've had champions that I didn't know were championing me. I've had advocates I actually didn't have line of sight on until I later found out. And I built them just by virtue of being conscious of building relationships with people and making them intentional and coming from a real place of caring in the relationships that I am in, if that makes very much sense. Back to another C. So I think if... really, it's about seeking out those advocates. And I often ask for help. I have no ego in this game, in my career. I don't know what I don't know. And I don't know what I'm not asking. And I don't know what I'm not seeing. So I'm often asking for help. And I ask a lot of questions to try and explore what that looks like. And who can help me kind of navigate through whatever situation I'm dealing with.
Do you have a specific coach?
Yes, I'm a member of PEO, which is the President of Enterprising Organizations. And I have a coach, a formal coach there through that organization. I elicit coaching from a number of my partners within RSM. I elicit coaching from a couple of managing partners within our alliance community. I have coaches that sit outside of RSM and sit outside of our industry that I will often just go pick their brains because I know they have a lot of experience and far more experience than I do.
How do you elicit coaching?
Depends on the situation. So I had a tough conversation. I was having a roadblock with an individual, and I just think it was our our personalities weren't really meshing. I think we were, at the end of the day, my assessment was we were pointed in the right direction. We both aligned around what we were trying to achieve. The challenge was, is I was trying to achieve it in one way and he was trying to achieve it in another. And we weren't aligned around how we were going to get there. And so I actually, I bring it up with my coach and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What am I doing? How do I look at this differently so that we arrive at a solution? And what do I do with my own approach? Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to change anyone else. The person I'm going to influence is me. So how do I change my approach? How do I need to look at it differently so that I feel good about this and I don't let it grind on me and get me down or disempower me? Another piece of advice I'd share with your audience is figure out what it is that makes you, gives you energy and what your, I don't want to use the word passion, but it is about energy. As I get my energy by talking to my clients and meeting people and hearing their stories and making sure we're delivering. And so that stuff really excites me. So I try to spend more time doing that in a day versus less.
Back to accounting firms joining the alliance, what is the benefit to them of being part of the alliance?
I love that you're giving me this commercial. This is fantastic. Thank you. The real benefit is that they maintain their independence. And I think it's the best of both worlds. They get to maintain their independence and be an independent firm while they get to leverage all of the resources and much of the infrastructure within a large global firm.
Let's go back to me asking you questions from your fan club here. What aspects about your career inspire joy and expansion?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, back to that comment about finding what makes you passionate, I am inherently a builder and a change agent. Those come to me very easily. I'm very comfortable there. I know most people aren't. So anything where we're driving change, causing a little bit of disruption, like our alliance, it's the first model in Canada ever looked like this. So those are the things that really spark me up around, we've grown it, we've built it, we've established it, and we're starting to plant some fairly decent roots. And that's really, I love that stuff. I could talk about it all day long. I think about it all day long.
So, do you think that being a golf pro shaped you in any way?
It definitely made me competitive, or better yet, my junior, my career growing up made me competitive. I just took it down the road of professional sports. Mm-hmm. I think what it did also is I spent a lot of time talking to audiences. I spent a lot of time topping golf balls sometimes, which was utterly humiliating when I'd be in front of a group of people and pretending that I was the expert because I was the golf professional and then performing very, very badly because I would top a ball, I'd hit a big cut. You know, that all helps to strip out your ego pretty quickly and realize you're just human. So that definitely had an impact.
Yeah, that's a fascinating game psychologically. We could have a whole conversation around that and how it affects people in such different ways. I'm not talking about people that go professional, just people that play it. And the way they react to the game is very interesting and sometimes very passionately to not doing well.
Yeah, I used to be that person.
Oh, okay.
I was a club rat. So my parents were members at a country club, and which sounds audacious, but at the time it wasn't. But you know, I was one of those people, if I didn't play very well, I'd be walking off the course crying because I carried it with me. I internalized it so deeply that it was an utter, I was the failure. I couldn't strip out my performance with my sense of self. So there's lots of learnings that was a huge work through. And I went through that for probably most of my teens. In fact, most people in that part of my life would probably remember that. Then of course it would just augment each other, because I not play well, I cry, and then I feel bad and embarrassed that I was crying. It was like, it just snowballed from there, and then I felt worse, and then I'd internalize it.
Yeah.
So even that, yeah, it's a tough game.
A lot of growing up.
Yeah, thankfully I have.
Yeah, which sort of leads me to my next question is, what advice would you give your younger self?
Yeah, that's good. So I think number one is build allies. Spend time. I ask some people to be my ally. Other times it's me asking for help that's kind of promoted them to become my ally. So I'd seek out allies everywhere. I wouldn't limit it to one person either. I think the other thing I think is you just have to be super prepared to be honest with yourself. And those are sometimes really hard. That's where you're most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so you got to spend the time. There's work there. And as you become and you start to you come further along in your career, you start to take leadership roles, the work gets harder because you're dealing with more people, different personality types. So you have to be more aware of how you show up and how you respond. And there's a big lift in there. So I would encourage your audience to spend time with getting to know their own strengths. And I don't say that glibly, but by the way it sounds it, it's really not. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say, would you ever, let me rephrase that. You mentioned about allies. Would you actually ask someone to be an ally?
I have asked people to be mentors.
Yes.
I've asked them for help. How do I, could I consider you my ally? I've asked questions like that. So I have, probably in a roundabout way, and then obviously other times in a very frank way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I can't imagine in my entire life having said to someone, would you be my ally? It wouldn't even have occurred to me. So that's an interesting thing. When you say ally, are you thinking related to an issue? Would you be my ally, or just like someone who borders on to someone I know who's got my back? Or I just want to explore that for a second.
Yeah, no, those are great questions. I think it's a bit of both. So often and mostly when I've been transitioning in my career, I have actually said, well, will you be my ally and help me manage this transition? Because I don't want to step into a landmine that I don't see coming. So will you help me? So I've had that very direct conversation. Other times, might just be around a situation that's not a career transition. And I might just say, hey, can I count on you? Do you got my back for this?
Yeah.
Where do you sit? What's your perspective? Here's where I'm at. How do we do this together? And that I would approach it that way.
Let me ask you a final question. And that is, what are two pieces of advice you would give someone who's sort of growing in their career and wants to manage their career for growth?
Work with your mentor. Typically, especially early in your career, it's probably someone within your organization. So I would definitely be working with them. And I think goal setting is really crucial here, because that's setting objectives and then working towards achieving those. So I would be very intentional around goal setting when you think about your career, especially if you're trying to elevate it and you have a sense of where you're going. I think the second one the second piece of advice would be prepared to take risks. Opportunities come, but you have to have your radar and your antenna up. When there's opportunities to present yourself where you could really flex your muscles, so to speak, be prepared to take them and try not to look at it as, oh, that's just another piece of work. I can't do that. I don't have time. So I think often, right, as you're building your career, you also get offered opportunities to get involved in other ways. all organizations have, whether it's a social committee, volunteering, whether there's events in the community, I would encourage people to get involved because that broadens your network.
Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
I've really enjoyed our time together, so thank you.
Thanks, Terry. And to our viewers and listeners, thanks so much for joining me and joining Terry today. It is really nice to talk business and career because to us, it's just very exciting and there's so many opportunities. So thank you for joining us for that. Please subscribe on YouTube. We're there. Please follow me on my podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Just a reminder about my website, career-resilience.com. And that's where I also house my blog, which is all things career. So thanks very much for joining us. And until we meet again.